We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to welcome to the show Will Shelton from GameDay on RockyTop.com. Will, we are 5 days away from Tennessee football opening up camp for the 2021 season.
It's weird, right? Like, I feel like the whole thing has been between a COVID year, and then I feel like we still haven't fully processed or appreciated the full length of time that we didn't know who Tennessee's coach was going to be this year. Like, that in, on top of however many years of weirdness now, that stretch in December and January, like, that whole thing was just an everyday kind of drag. And so I feel like there's – and I'm sure a lot of college football fan bases feel this way coming out of the COVID year, but especially if you've got a new coach. It's been a long time since there's been some kind of – some little bit of normalcy. So we'll see with Tennessee. Obviously, if they come out and struggle this year, then – you lose some of that enthusiasm right away. But I think just it's good that Tennessee opens with Bowling Green. It's good they open on the Thursday night just to go play, man, to go have what hopefully will still be a opportunity for a capacity crowd or as many tickets as they can sell to that thing anyway, and just get back to what can this team do on the field instead of the myriad ways in which we've had to talk about Tennessee over the last 18 months. So yeah, it's nice here to you know, August to Sunday, and no matter how many years or how far Tennessee's been down, once the calendar hits August, there's going to be a little bit of everybody that thinks, maybe we could win 7 or 8 this year, and I'm sure by kickoff, you know, that'll do what it always does and climb even higher.
From Dooley to Butch to Pruitt to now Heupel, we've kind of been through this cycle before. Are you seeing anything different from the fan base as far as this first year head coach is concerned, just with the anticipation and the excitement towards the first season under Josh Heupel?
I think it is a little more measured, just in part because it would have to be, right? Because it has been so many years and they've all been a little bit unique. I think the biggest sort of miscalculation probably among fans was Pruitt's first year, because Tennessee had success in 15 and 16, and even the first part of 17. You know, there's a whole – that Georgia Tech game in 17 and the Florida game until the very last play. Tennessee's there and competitive in a lot of ways and all that stuff. And so I think there was a lot there in Pruitt's first year. Even going into that West Virginia game, the number of folks in local media that were really projecting Tennessee to have an opportunity to win that game. And so – that one, I think, kind of that was, even though there were tough moments, or even though there were great moments in 2018 with beating Auburn and beating Kentucky, ultimately the scope of that year was kind of, I feel like, the place where fans missed the most in terms of what they thought the team would be on August 1st or September 1st and what the team actually ended up being in terms of being competitive with Missouri and Vanderbilt. So now this year, even though I know the schedule is lighter and you got Pitt and you got Ole Miss, that those two options could certainly be worse. I feel like most fans are kind of in a place of acceptance, no matter what it is. Now, when we say no matter what it is, if Tennessee goes 2-10, we're going to have a different set of conversations, I'm sure. But nobody's really projecting that. I think it's more just saying, all right, we've been through this however many times. Let's just see that Pitt game. Not even in terms of the importance for Tennessee to win it, but just to take the temperature in week two to say, here's a team of comparable level, probably to Tennessee. Let's see what they can do. I feel like that will end up being kind of the biggest barometer for people's expectations, as opposed to in a lot of these early years. Even Dooley was loved because he wasn't Kiffin right away. And then Butch Jones had recruited so well, to his credit, that I think that really helped people buy into him sooner as well. Heupel, it's just kind of, all right, let's acceptance more of where Tennessee is, and then let's see kind of right away, let's take that temperature against Pittsburgh and see what happens.
We're talking to Will Shelton, GameDay on RockyTop.com. What is a non-quarterback storyline or position group that you're interested to learn about either next week or as the next month goes along before the start of the season?
I think there are a couple places where I think both fans and media in some sense, you make assumptions about the transfer guys, and you just need those assumptions to be right. Like Juwan Mitchell, you don't need to hear, he's struggling to crack the two deep. Like, that would be bad news for Tennessee. He's the biggest one where, like, you brought in somebody to address a very specific need. So you don't want to hear that any of those guys that have been added as transfers in the past 6 months are disappointing or disappearing. I think that Mitchell, far and away, the most important there. But you just want those baseline kind of assumptions of they brought this guy in to help and help right away in the two deep. You want to see those be true. I think after that, there's a little bit of mystery, I think, in terms of what exactly is Tennessee going to look like on the defensive line in terms of, like, where's Tyler Barron going to line up and play? How often or how well are they going to be able to use him? That's true for some of the guys coming in, too. So I want to – some of that you're going to, I think, have to wait until you get Bowling Green in Pittsburgh to see, like, what do they actually look like when they're lining up defensively in the front seven. So if you get little nuggets of that in camp or hopefully, you know, more than that with a little more access maybe, I think those are all points where fans are kind of trying to figure out. To me, it's easier – like a best case scenario for the offense, you kind of know more of those names. That's going to be Jalin Hyatt has a huge year, and you got three different running backs that do well, and any quarterback that emerges. Best case scenario for the defense is just much more up in the air, I think. So any kind of answers for that or who are going to be guys that can get some defined roles, all that I think is going to be noteworthy and stuff that fans will attach themselves to.
How fast do you have to figure that out on defense? I mean, obviously you'd like to have it ready by the time you get to facing teams like Florida and Pitt, but at what point do you think you really start to gauge a barometer for where the defense is at, especially by the time you get to Ole Miss there midway through the season?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think that interesting point of the schedule, like normally for a first-year coach, and this would be a good thing to go back and research, a lot of first-year guys, they get somebody that they shouldn't get. Pruitt did this with Auburn. But then they also are – you tend to have a way of losing some guys later on. Now, I don't know that Tennessee has enough of like a remaining upperclassman base for this to happen so much for Josh Heupel, and we hear a lot about, well, these guys are having more fun, and it's not a COVID year, so they can be around each other and all that stuff. But like just looking at a calendar, you would want them to figure it out mid-October, but the problem there is I think easily the two best offenses Tennessee is going to face are right there, right? Ole Miss and then Alabama back-to-back. So just because of the nature of that schedule, I would say you're coming out of the bye week. You got Kentucky right there that maybe is going to have a big say in terms of if you're not imposing penalties, is Tennessee going to get to six wins? Is Tennessee going to get to a bowl game? So that would be a game that's got a big opportunity. You're not terrified of Kentucky offensively, right, like at all. And then Georgia, can you be better? Can you put a better product on the field defensively against Georgia than you put out there against Alabama or you put out there against Florida? Are they making progress, if they stay healthy, are they making progress to where even though no one's going to pick Tennessee to beat Georgia, you can feel better about kind of where this whole thing is headed when you get to that stretch? So I think that's kind of one of the more unfortunate narratives that could happen to Heupel is you feel like they're really making progress and then they just run into two really good offenses back-to-back there with Ole Miss and Alabama, just because of the nature of the schedule that might derail or slow down that progress maybe a little bit.
Will Shelton, GameDay on RockyTop.com. Final item, are there more Philadelphia 76ers, LA Clippers, or maybe even Memphis Grizzlies fans among Tennessee fans because of the draft last night?
Yeah, if Pons can get on the floor, like this happened with Jarnell Stokes, right, where Stokes had a chance with Memphis, and I think there was interest there, and he just couldn't get on the floor. If Pons can get in that rotation in Memphis, then I think that for sure is a big deal. The thing about Philly, I mean, Tobias is already there. So and Josh Richardson was there. So, like, I think fans that want to cheer for individual Tennessee players were already on board with that. Keon, we got to see. Like, the long-term future with the Clippers is uncertain, right? So what's that team going to be 2-3 years from now? Are those guys, the stars on that team, are they still going to be there? And I think it's a situation like the best case version with the Clippers is a good situation, but the worst case version, if they've mortgaged their future and that doesn't work out with Kawhi and Paul George, then he's on a West Coast team that you're not really going to get the chance to watch. So I think there's a lot more variance with Keon. So strangely enough, you know, Pons, I think, is the one, if he can get in the rotation where you can turn on the TV and say, I'm going to get to see him play tonight, that's one where I think fans will have the quickest chance to get there. If either of these guys, Keon or Jaden Springer, if they turn into like superstars. And I mean, you know, playing at a level higher than Tobias is playing, because Tobias is pretty good, man, right? Like, Tobias is a borderline all-star. He's been in the league 10 years. But if they can go above that level, then I think that'll take care of itself with gravitating to it. But it could have been worse last night. I mean, you know, Keon Johnson in several mock drafts was going to Sacramento, and that's like the worst case scenario, I think, for a Tennessee player in the NBA. So it's unfortunate that these guys never land, like with the Hawks or either of those two first round guys, with the Grizzlies maybe. But it certainly could have been worse. You're going to get to see those two guys on competitive teams, and Memphis is a you know, competitive play-in playoff team. So I think Pons really, if he gets on the floor. If you can turn on the game and know you're going to see him, he's been a much longer part of people's lives anyway as a Tennessee player, so they're going to gravitate to that more quickly.
Yep, I would agree. Hey, Will, what is going on at GameDayOnRockyTop.com as Tennessee begins fall practice next week?
Something we looked at that actually sparked from the conversation I had with you guys last week, in terms of when you're going to 16 teams now, which this moved very quickly in the week since I've spoken to you guys, now is all certain and official and everything. The Arkansas and Kentucky's and South Carolina's and Missouri's, and given Tennessee's history the last 10 years, Tennessee's in that category right now. We looked at today, like, how often have those teams, since the last expansion 10 years ago, how often has that middle tier felt like they had a real shot to get to Atlanta? And I think the good news is, it really, when you look at it, all of those teams, with the exception of Vanderbilt, all of those teams in the league had at least one year in the last 9 seasons here since expansion where they had a real shot to get to Atlanta, and 10 out of 14, including Tennessee in 15 and 16, 10 out of 14 teams had at least 2 years where they felt like they had a real shot. So I think most of those programs, those mid-tier programs, Mississippi State was number one for a month, South Carolina under Spurrier, even Arkansas with Bielema in 2015, like, everybody has had a shot in this last model. Is that going to translate now when you're adding Texas and Oklahoma? And probably instead of trying to get to Atlanta, the benchmark is, can you get an at-large bid to the playoffs? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm comforted, I think, a little by the idea that teams on Tennessee's current level, all those groups still had a shot. Most of them had at least 2 shots in the last 9 years to legitimately get to Atlanta. And you would hope that means that real kind of progress and opportunities are going to be there for Tennessee and whatever this future looks like as well.
Check out Will Shelton's work, GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Also want to remind you, our friend Will, who joins us every week to talk about Tennessee, he's a pastor in the United Methodist Church, and he has a new book out. Recommend you check it out, Roots of Eden, The First Truths for a Season of Renewal. Go to RootsOfEdenBook.com. You can find it on Amazon, Roots of Eden from Will Shelton. Hey, Will, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, and we'll look forward to checking in with you next week.
Much appreciated, guys. Thank you.